Amen. Good morning. Matthew 26, please. We're coming up to the time in our lives when we start teaching about the last week of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ before, you know, his last week, and also his death, his crucifixion, the resurrection. It's all coming up in this period of time. And if you have a book called Jesus Christ Our Passover, how many of you got one of those? Good. You gotta read it. The rest of you, if you have a computer, I have a PDF file of that particular book if you would like it. I also have the real thing, but they're pretty much out of print. So, but I have the PDF file of that whole book. If you'd like to have it, I'd be very happy to share it with you. You know what a PDF file is? If you don't, you don't know what, don't worry about it. In Matthew 26. And when it came to pass that when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. And they counseled that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. Really nice. You know, it's amazing how that the people who think that they know God always want to murder somebody. And they, you know, and they do it in God's name and all the rest of it. Yeah, how evil that is. You know, and they do it in all different religions. I mean, you know, here's the Jews. Christians did it. Muslims are doing it, you know. It's all evil. When's anybody going to figure that out? You know, it's just all plain evil. Defending yourself is one thing. Plotting and destroying others is, you know, for in the name of your cause, it's just plain evil. If God wants somebody taken out, he's really capable of doing it. He don't need you, that's for sure. But that's another story. But they consulted together, and they did it by subtlety to kill him. They didn't want the people to know. They just wanted him to go away, you know, and get rid of him. But they said not on the feast day. They had a little moral. You can't do it on the religious, you can't do it on the Passover. We want them gone, but there's a rule. You can't do it on the Passover. Nice folks. See, murderers got rules. Can't do it on the feast day. And the reason for that was not so much that they cared about the feast day. They just didn't want an uproar among the people. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box. Now look at verse 6 again. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, okay, who was he hanging out with? A man who was known to be, whether he was healed or not, he was known to be a leper. I can guarantee you he was not in the middle of the nicest part of town. Remember they threw the lepers outside? Now, maybe he was a rich leper, But he's still an outcast in his own society. This is where Jesus is hanging out. Quite a contrast. Just think about it. Just think about that in itself, between the people that are in this chapter so far and Jesus. And he came unto him, and there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on the head, on his head, as he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation. They were all ticked. You know what indignation is? Annoyed. What's going on here? How can this be? Saying, to what purpose is this waste? For the ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And Jesus understood it, and he said unto them, why trouble you this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured out this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, they shall also this, and this woman hath done, be told of for a memorial of her. I want you, and we're still talking about it today, I want you to see, this is the last couple of days. This is his last couple of days. Outside, he's got people trying to kill him. Inside, he's hanging out at the leper's house. Somebody tries to do something nice for him. And inside, his guys get all ticked off if someone tries to bless him. Now, is it all for, you know, holy, religious kind of reason? Oh, it could have been sold. And you go to the other gospel, the reason why they wanted this is because one of them was a thief and they wanted the money in their own pocket. Let's read the other gospels. Guess which one? Judas was the one who was the treasurer of the group. In fact, he's going to go sell Jesus for 30 pieces and a few more verses. He's got them enemies without. He's got people within. What did our Lord do to deserve this? And this is his last couple of days. If you don't do something nice for the Lord, he spent his whole life in service. Why would it be? It was not because of their care for the poor. It was because, and I just didn't look up the verse to see what it was, but the reason, the motive for this whole thing being brought up at the dinner wasn't about the good deed the woman did, wasn't about the poor. It was really to fill the thief's pocket. So he's got inside his own organization, he's got that kind of filth going on. I think they're worse than the guys on the outside, to tell you the truth. Think about it. The people who lived with them, heard him, watched him, saw the miracles, saw God working it, and one of them, Judas by name, is going to sell him to the enemy. Quite a deal. Well, you remember this lady. Jesus said, you got to remember her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said unto him, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. It wasn't even like, they didn't even entice him. Hey, Judas, come on. Nah, he went to the house. He just dropped Jesus like a rock. He just dropped him like a rock. Think how easy that is. Pick up a rock and drop it on the ground. That's how much you care about the man. And he went to them, and he didn't even get much. 30 pieces of silver was the price that you would pay for your average slave. So, and they consented with him for 30 pieces of silver. That's how much they bargained. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, upon him, there will thou at that be prepared for thee to eat the Passover. And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, the time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus hath appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, when the evening came, he sat down with the 12, and they did eat. And he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. See, it wasn't the Passover. He said to the guys, go to this guy and say, we're going to eat the Passover over there. But that evening, remember this was 2 days before? Just a few sentences ago. So this is before. This is a verse that tells you that Jesus didn't get to the Passover because he was on the cross on that day, before the evening of the Passover. So, and at verse 21, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? I never quite figured that out. Wouldn't you, like, know if this was in your gut and in your heart? I mean, a whole bunch of them are going to say, oh, well, we're never going to betray you here in a few minutes, and we'll die for you. Actually, Peter says that. But here they're asking this. So this was always kind of a peculiar way of thinking for me. And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It hath been good if he had never been born. It'd be better if he were never born. The Word of God says he's going to be betrayed. He's going to fulfill the Scripture. This is the way his life's going to go. But it really would have been better for Judas never to have been born. Think about that one a little bit. Non-existence is better than what's coming. Verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and he gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it, For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. See, they sang at the Jesus' fellowships too. Then saith Jesus unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, this is why you're all going to quit on me. He already knows it. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. It's in the Word of God. It's going to happen, and that's just the way it is. I mean, I love how every little detail of Scripture is going to be fulfilled. Even other people's reaction. Even how they handle his clothes on the cross. They cast garments, cast lots for my garment. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. They all were with you. I would like to believe that we would do better, but I don't think so. I don't know. I get that. I've always thought that if you talk too much, you're more than likely not to do. The people who talked a lot were never the ones I worried about. It was always the quiet ones I worried about in a bad situation, in a fight. Well, I think the same thing is true of God's people. The ones that shoot their mouth off, oh, I'm going to stand forever. You know? Well, you know what? I think that they let their guard down way too often. And most of them that have boasted to me that, many of them, if not all, are just about gone. Me, I worry every day. And I pray God every day for strength. Because I know I can fall. I think that's a whole healthier attitude. These guys are just, they are what they are, you know. They're just people. What are you going to do? They're not anything special, one way or the other. They're just people. And just because people talk tough don't mean that they'll be there. You don't know until the time comes. But when the Scripture says that you won't be there, I wouldn't argue. You might be there on a different day, but you ain't going to be there on that day. And Peter said unto him, yeah, he said, though I die. And then the Lord says, 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane. And he said unto the disciples, sit you here while I go and pray over there. I go yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed and said, O my Father, If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and he finds them asleep. And he said unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you do this with me? What did Jesus want him to do? Pray with me. You know what the word watch means? It's the word Gorgio in the Greek. It almost sounds like somebody's name. But it's to have attention. You know, it's a cautious watch. It's a cautious activity. It's a cautious action. It's like you're sneaking around and looking around the corner. All right? It's strict attention. You got your radar up. Something's up here. This is important. I need to be on my toes, we would say. That's what he's asking them to do. He said to these men, I need you to pray with me now. I need you to get on your toes. I need you to stand watch with me. It's important. And they want to sleep. So where was I? 30, 40. And he cometh unto the disciples. He comes back to them. He finds them asleep. And he says to Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Get on your toes. Radar up. That you don't enter into temptation. Temptation is like a test. Okay? You ever have your radar up because, hey, people around me are trying to pull me into something that's really not good. Okay? Compromise your integrity, compromise your fidelity, compromise your profession. The whole get your radar up and pray. It's a great way to look at it. You can't be a spectator sitting back in the armchair of life and expect not to get run over. You got to be in the game. You got to be in the spiritual realm. You have got to get on your toes and stay there. You're tired of it? Well, then it's time to just go to sleep. You got a choice. You either get cold cocked. You know what I mean by that? Cold cocked has been, it's that coward game that the kids play where they knock people out that are unsuspecting. See if I can knock you out with one punch. Those are the cowards of life. I love to call, they're cowards. I hope you hear it on the internet. They're just a bunch of cowards. And they think it's fun. That's what I mean by cold cock. You get somebody hit, you weren't expecting it, you're not looking for it. Sucker punch it. And these cowards call it a game. It's really sad they don't even know they're cowards. We gotta be watching. That's all he asked them to do. Your test is coming. Stuff's coming up with you. I mean, life always throws you something. But here in this particular, Jesus said, guys, pray with me. I need you. You got to pray for one another. You got to stand for one another. You got to have the radar up. Little intensity. You know, every one of us has got a personal need. Every one of us, we need each other to pray for. You need to lead. You know what the leader does? He's got his radar up, and he's up on his feet, and he moves, and others might follow. He's not waiting, well, wait, let me wait until somebody else moves. You be the leader. You be the leader. You don't need a title, just be the leader. At any rate. And he went away, verse 42, and he went away again. And the second time he prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came, and he found them asleep again, and for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And the disciples said unto them, Sleep. And he cometh to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while they yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. And now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whosoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Behold, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master! And he kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? And then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which was with Jesus, he stretched out his hand and he drew the sword. And he struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword unto its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? What's the matter with you? Don't you know that I can pray right now to my Father, and he'd give me 12 legions? You know how many soldiers in a legion? 6,000-7,000. That's 72,000 angels. You know, it only took 2 angels to take care of Sodom and Gomorrah. 2. Bing a bang a boom. What's 72,000 going to do? Think about it. Well, I can give you a chance. When the Lord returns with his angels, mighty messengers, I'm sure he's going to have the 72,000 with him. You'll get to see it. Can't wait. So, think, I'm here to die. I just prayed to God, let this thing pass. I don't want it. This is not the way I want to do it. He's done praying. His guys, there's no help there. There's no help there. There's nobody. He's alone. Him and Almighty God. This is where it's at. I can't imagine that feeling. thinking that there's none, me and my God. That's it. The people I've loved, the people I've worked with, all of them. They ain't worth a plug nickel. But he says to him, I could ask God for 12 legions of angels, but verse 54, if I do that, how are these scriptures going to be fulfilled? And thus it must be. It's the only reason that he went through what he went through. He chose to. In the same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out against a thief with swords and staves, or to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. I was with you every day in the temple. I was in public. I wasn't hiding. But all this was done that the scriptures and the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him, and they fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ did it all to fulfill God's word. He had a mission. He had a purpose. It didn't matter what other people were cooking up around him. It did not matter. It hurt. You could see it from his words. It hurt that they couldn't even stay faithful enough for an hour and pray with them. It hurt that they'd say one thing and he knew they were going to do another. But he did it. You know, we're told all throughout the scripture, we're told to continue to pray, stand watch, walk circumspectly. You know what that means? You get your head on a swivel. You know what's going on. And I'm not just talking, I'm talking about spiritually. It's nice if you know what's going on in the neighborhood. But, you know, if you wake up every day and you realize, I got a purpose. My Lord needs me to pray. And you ask him, what would you have me to pray for? My Lord needs me to open my mouth and speak. Who can I speak to new? Well, am I willing to get up off of my derriere and go someplace different and meet somebody? Just get to a different location and talk to somebody. Or am I just going to sit there and watch cartoons all day? That's what I think about. I don't know what people watch. But that's where I was Saturday morning when I was a kid, man. I was locked in. That was more important than anything, was Saturday morning cartoons. Don't ask me why that one came up, but it did. Not really sure what that has to do with anything. But that, look at one other place here. Look at the 88th Psalm. You know, this kind of trouble is not new in the Bible to God's people. Jesus could see, he could read, he knew. Jesus isn't the first one. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He did it perfectly, but he's not the first one to have trouble. In the 88th Psalm, it says, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee, incline thy ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of trouble, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit, into the grave. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more. And they are cut off from thy land. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit in darkness, in the depths. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Thou hast put away my acquaintances far from me, and thou hast made me an abomination unto them. Oh, my friends, I'm like an abomination. They got nothing to do with me. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. My eyes mourn by reason of affliction. Yahweh, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? You know, can the dead do those things, my God? Well, that's what I want to do. I want to praise you. I want to show people your loving kindness. I want to talk, but I'm going to the grave if you don't answer this prayer. Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why ceasest thou? Why carest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die. From my youth up, while I suffer my terrors and am distracted, thy fierce wrath goeth over me, and thy terror have cut me off. They came around about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend thou hast put far from me, and my acquaintances into darkness. Everybody's gone. Everybody's left. You cry unto the Lord. Jesus felt very, very sick. This is it. But he knew why. He knew what he was doing. There are others who've suffered like this and prayed like this and didn't know whether God would answer or not. They wanted him to. And I'm sure he did, because he wrote this. You follow me? But that moment, at that time, at that very moment, it's as dark as it's dark can get. It can get that dark in life. Where's your deliver me? Not because I'm such a good guy, but because I want to praise your name. Who's going to do that in life if I'm dead? Don't you want somebody to praise you, love you, share about you? I mean, that's the point of being alive. That's what he went to God with. I just thought that that was pretty deep. I am a weak man, just like all men. I need his help. I am not a tenth, I'm not a quarter of a tenth of a percent of a man with the strength of Jesus. I need his help. So my reliance has got to be on him. I have to seek him, just like this man is seeking in my prayer, deliver me, help me. I need to stand in that kind of switched on. I got to be switched on. I got to be vigilant. That's another good word for it, vigilant. So that I'm relying on him. And not the people, because they come and go. Not anything else. Because you got a purpose. The Lord had his purpose, and he saved us. And he tells us that we're here in his stead. It's the reason that you're alive. You ain't alive because you're so pretty. I always think of Muhammad Ali when he says that, right? I'm pretty. You know, you're not here for any other reason. When you believed, when he died, you died. John McCabe died because I accepted him as Lord. John McCabe was buried because I accepted him as Lord, because he did that for me. He was in the tomb for me. John McKay, was his flesh was crucified because he did it as my substitute. And when he was raised, I was raised a brand new man. So that I no longer live for myself, but I live for him. That's the truth of the accomplished work of Christ. Therefore, every day, it's for him. I serve my God. I serve my family. I serve the people around me in my church. I serve the unbelievers, the Word of God. I serve those, touch them. That's the purpose of my life. If I want to quote scripture, this is what would be quoted. Jesus died quoting those scriptures because he was fulfilling them. Let us live and die fulfilling the ones that are written to us. So that's what I wanted to share with you.